the endocannabinoid system is our master regulator. It actually regulates our immune system, our nervous system, and our endocrine system. And if we think of disease, we know that most disease starts in those three systems, right? The ECS is our largest cell-to-cell communication network found within all vertebrates. In fact, they believe this system to be very ancient. They find it in fish. They found it, like, they found it in all kinds of beings on the planet.
Welcome to the Anthropology Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Walker. As a former naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I align the intersection of personal performance, purpose, and innovative thinking in badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. Anthropology is the study and science of what makes an entrepreneur think, feel, and perform in a path compelled by a vision for helping others, solving problems, while building a life on your own terms. Together, we are exploring the health, mindset, and strategies that distinguish the world's best entrepreneurs. This is the Anthropology Podcast. Hey, 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 welcome to episode 207. I'm so glad you are here. You know, I was reflecting on the fact that we have recorded this many episodes, and today we are talking about a subject matter we have never discussed or unpacked on the podcast. And I'm going to say, I think we did it super well. Stephanie Massey is a cancer survivor. She is the daughter of a breast cancer survivor. She is a mother. She is a wife. She is a writer. And she also is a certified cannabis educator. And what we are talking about today are all things cannabis. Cannabis 101. How do we use it medicinally? What has been the evolution of it becoming regulated in certainly in a Canadian market? How can we leverage it in our everyday life? And how do we move beyond a mindset of this is a tool that is used as escapism? This is a tool that had been pulled into the war on drugs and stigmatized. How do we start to leverage cannabis and look at cannabis in an entirely new light? This is a subject matter that I held back on for a long period of time as a naturopathic doctor. I was frustrated that it was the only plant people were interested in unpacking. But as I started to learn more and more about cannabis and its role in our health and its role in our endocannabinoid system and the physiology behind it, how it can impact our health, our mental health, and our psychosocial health in so many different ways, I became fascinated with understanding the role that it can play in helping us grow in our lives. I'm super excited that Stephanie joined us today. She has such an incredible demeanor to her. It was a really awesome conversation. I've shared with so many people how excited I am about this upcoming episode, and I am delighted to be able to introduce you to her today. It is my pleasure to welcome Stephanie Massey. Stephanie Massey, welcome to the Anthropology Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Megan.
I'm excited about this conversation. And we were just saying before we hit record, we're going to be talking about cannabis and CBD and all elements of that spectrum. And this is a topic we have never really addressed on this platform, despite it being an area where people consistently have questions. So I said to you, and I'm letting everyone know, I'm going to come at this from the place of a blank slate. I'm going to be mindful of the types of questions that people have shared with us and have asked me specifically. And I'm really excited for you to be able to unpack and demystify some of these elements for us. But I think what would give us the appropriate context for all of this is if you shared with everyone a little bit of your journey and how this became such a central part of the work that you do with patients and clinicians.
Thank you so much, Megan. Yeah, I'm honored to be here, honestly. I'm so blessed to be able to be in a space to share this message and just to share a little bit more about a medicine that really we've been taught to be afraid of, but we don't need to be when we're well-educated, when we're armed with knowledge. So my story begins actually in February 2017. At the age of 42, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. So I knew this world very well, actually, because my mom was diagnosed 5 years ahead of me. Our cancers were almost identical. However, she was postmenopausal and I was premenopausal. So my cancer was a little bit more aggressive than hers was, and my stage was 3B. And so that meant that I had to do all the things, right? Surgery was a partial mastectomy with lymph node dissection. And then it was chemotherapy, more surgery, radiation, more surgery, more surgery. So I did all of the things, including 30 rounds of radiation, which I found to be one of the hardest things to do in the whole landscape of treatment. But the biggest part of the treatment that was the hardest for me was actually going into surgical menopause. And this is something we don't talk about very much in the breast cancer or in the cancer world, I should say. We don't really know that that is a very real side effect of our treatment. And those of us that are young and premenopausal, it's a big, big change on the system. So 6 weeks after I had my ovaries removed, I was in my doctor's, my oncologist's office, and I was a wreck. Like, that was the hardest part of my whole journey, was the ups and downs of surgical menopause. And it happened immediately in recovery. I was on the recovery. I was in the recovery after surgery, and the hot flashes were intense. So my doctor didn't know what to do, right? And she and her and I both kind of discussed CBD, and she's like, "Yeah, like give it a try. Give it a try." So I did, but I was very much left on my own with that. There was no direction. No, here's what you take. Here's what it's going to do. Here's what you should look for. Here's the clinic you should visit. Here's the clinic you should not visit. Here's right. the information you should not have. Like, you know, all of these, nothing, like no one was there to help me. And so because I am a strong advocate for my own health in regards to my breast cancer journey, and then I was also an advocate for my mom, I took that lens and I applied it to this medicine. I applied it to the plant. And I dug deep and I got into some really big rabbit holes, as I'm sure many of your listeners know what that feels like. And I realized that it has quite a strong sort of commitment from people who really struggle with allopathic medicine. It's not just about a choice. So in my case, we realized through my cancer treatment that I don't metabolize painkillers. I will take the Percocet and feel nothing, literally nothing. And my doctor was very surprised by this. And so then I realized that I had been suffering with pain that was out of control for a lot of my life. Having my babies made so much more sense when I realized that my pain receptors must be a little bit different and they don't work with, you know, the strong allopathic painkillers. So that was also why I was very driven to see if I could get something else to work for me. And it wasn't easy, because as a kid, I bought into the war on drugs, hook, line, and sinker. Okay. I was 43 with cancer the first time I ever smoked a joint. So it was a really, really hard mindset shift for me. And science helped. So this is kind of the landscape that I come to from being a certified cannabis educator. There are people out there who are trying this medicine, but they don't know where to start, just like me.
Right? I think that's most people.
Yeah, you're very right. You're very right. It is most people. And most people that see me are like me. They've never tried it, right? They're very nervous. And I totally respect that, because I was there.
I think a significant reason, well, I really love you and your work, and which is why I wanted to have you here. But a huge reason why I was like, we need to have this conversation and we need to have it now is, you know, I receive messages probably on a daily basis in my DMs from various companies wanting me to promote their CBD product or be part of their launch for this. Yes. Or be on. And it's even for me, who has a capacity to discern when this is problematic or not, and to readily move through the science, I was like, this is overwhelming. And, you know, lately I've been hanging out on a new platform called Clubhouse.
Yep.
And I was like, I'm in rooms talking about like live video tactics, and someone's like, have you ever heard of CBD? And I was like, okay, like enough. And what it's doing to me is it's actually, I respect where you're coming from when you're talking about the war on drugs, and we can unpack that a little bit. But the other defense mechanism I now have is I don't want to have conversations about it at all, because I as a practitioner don't know how to navigate this anymore. And everything is going to get lumped into this category of I'm going to be taken advantage of, or there's going to be a problem, or it's just not even worth my energy to try to find information that is qualified information versus someone trying to make a quick buck off of a new trend. And I'm actually wondering if we can start there.
Sure, we can. Because,
right? Like, how do we, if people are like, I'm actually interested, but the next step of how I learn more, I had a conversation with girlfriends the other day, and everyone was like, I kind of want to try something, but I don't even know what to ask for. Like, yeah. I don't even have the language, yeah. let alone a solid resource.
Yeah.
Where do people start when they're like, I'm curious, but I'm also defensive.
Yeah.
Because I'm scared of all the people coming at me.
Sure. So you're also in a position as a practitioner that, yes, you're getting flooded with CBD requests. And I'll tell you that probably 100% of those are coming from the States, because the landscape in Canada is very different than what's happening in different states across the US. So, you know, my expertise is more in Canada, but I think what we should start with is so you're being you're flooded with CBD information. CBD is not just CBD. Okay. This is the first thing I'm going to help us recognize. When we look at the cannabis plant, there is a drug type of plant and there's a non-drug type. So the non-drug type is hemp. And hemp is what in the States is, and in Canada, we're seeing hemp CBD is really coming on the market all over the place. Okay. So this is the product that is being claimed to have all of the same therapeutic benefits of CBD, but without the psychotropic effects. Okay. So I would only recommend a hemp CBD to someone who comes to me with a very serious condition. I would only recommend that if they are being tested at work for THC in their system. Okay. The other thing we need to know now is the cannabis plant. So the cannabis sativa plant that is a drug type. It has both CBD and THC in it, as well as several hundred more compounds or cannabinoids that we are just starting to explore. So one cannabinoid that has been, or one molecule that has been found in the drug type plant, the University of Guelph studied, and they found this access to pain relief, and this one molecule is 30 times stronger than aspirin. So what we have to first start with, and we can get into CBD from hemp, but they are different. That's the first thing I'd love for you and your listeners to know, is that they are different. So in Canada, the drug type cannabis that we talk about with legalization and that we talk about that has any amount of THC in it, that would be at most of our rec stores across the country, or that you get from your licensed producer if you're a medical patient. Okay. So this drug type plant is actually where we get the most therapeutic benefit. Okay. And I'll speak to CBD and hemp. It is not regulated in this country. Okay. It's not regulated. So we don't actually know, if it's been third party tested and if there's any remnants of mold, fungicides, anything, any bacterial stuff that's in the ground. And also I want us to keep in mind, I don't hate CBD from hemp, but it was used in Chernobyl. Okay. Hemp was used in Chernobyl to really pull the toxins from the air and the earth. This is what this plant does. This is what the plant does. And this is why we need testing as medical patients. And so when we look at the lens of the drug type cannabis that I work with, it does have THC in it, and THC has a place in our healing. Okay. But the CBD in this plant, it's so interesting because in this plant, if you let it grow naturally without fussing with it, without changing its genetics, it naturally has a little bit of both compounds in it. And why? Because we know THC affects the neurotransmitters of the brain, right? That's how it actually works and functions. But CBD is actually a neuroprotectant. So this plant is so smart that it knows how to protect you while it nourishes you.
As so many plants are.
Yes.
When you actually have the opportunity to learn about them. Yeah,
exactly.
It's actually amazing.
It's so surprising, actually, that naturopathic doctors don't have this education and don't have this knowledge around cannabis, because I think many of you would be blown away by the therapeutic benefit of this plant. And there is so much good research that we were not shown or that we were not encouraged to look for because it was a prohibitive substance. It was illegal. Do you know what I'm saying? It was even illegal to research properly. Right?
And it was an off-limits plant while so many of us were pursuing our education.
Yes.
It wasn't part of our scope. It wasn't legal.
Yep.
It wasn't a tool that we could readily access. It wasn't on the table.
Well, interestingly, the medical cannabis system in Canada has been here since 2001. So we know that there's been a medical use for it in our country. It's just kind of been brushed under the rug, right? Now we're starting to talk about it. We're starting to see, the studies. We're starting to see good research. And the biggest thing that turned my brain and helped with my stigma is that in the 80s and 90s, there was some really in-depth studying being done on THC. And the biggest question they asked at that point was, why? Why does it work? Why does it work in people's body? Why does it do this? And guess what they found? They found the endocannabinoid system. So we have a master regulator system in our body called the endocannabinoid system. And I would recommend your listeners check out the Knox docs in the States. They are specialists in endocannabinoid therapy. And they are amazing. So they're the Knox docs, KNOX. And maybe we can put that in the show notes for your listeners, yeah, because they are just, they are a family of four doctors, and they are really, really opening up our minds to this system in our body. So what science has found is that the endocannabinoid system is our master regulator. It actually regulates our immune system, our nervous system, and our endocrine system. And if we think of disease, we know that most disease starts in those three systems, right? The ECS is our largest cell-to-cell communication network found within all vertebrates. In fact, they believe this system to be very ancient. They find it in fish. They found it in all kinds of beings on the planet.
Interesting.
Yes. So this is where my brain took a big like, oh, okay, hold on here. There's a reason why this works. You know, we find that we pass endocannabinoids from our system to our babies in our breast milk because we're nourishing their endocannabinoid system, right? So when you start to look at it from that perspective, you start to think, wow, hold on. This plant has been here for millions of years. It was actually written down in Chinese pharmacopoeia as far back as maybe 2400 BC. It's an ancient plant that's been used for medicine for a long time, and really it's only been the last 100 years that we have been deprived of it.
It's so fascinating. In terms of the endocannabinoid system and the influence, the maternal child influence, is there anything other than the cannabis plant
Yes.
that has a direct impact on it?
Absolutely there is. So a few things. Cold. So-called temperatures. So if you think of Scandinavian baths where they do the hot and cold therapy, so that cold therapy actually really helps to build and nourish and strengthen our endocannabinoid system. So yes, there are all kinds of things. I have a great article. I can't pull it up off the top of my head right now, but I'll send it to you, that gives you a great list of what some of the other things you can do in your life to nourish the system if cannabis isn't an option for you.
Why would we want to?
Well, because it really does regulate what's happening in the body. It is our place of homeostasis. It is cellular homeostasis. And so we all want balance, right? We want balance in our lives. We want balance in our relationships. We want balance in our bodies. And so nourishing this system has the potential to do that.
This must be why I am a nicer person and nicer wife when I do my ice baths before I
yes,
go to bed.
Yes, yes. I mean, again, you know that I'm a yoga and meditation teacher, right? With like hundreds of hours of training in meditation. So meditation will do the same thing, is it will help the nourish the ECS. So there's a lot of things we can do that doesn't include cannabis if that's, you know, something that someone wants to stay away from. And I totally respect that.
So we can talk about cannabis in two contexts. We can talk about it from a medicinal application, and I think we should draw that picture for people in terms of what that looks like and how it is, frankly, so broadly applicable. And then I think it's also worth speaking to it in the context of recreation.
Yes.
Where do people start if this is something that they want to explore? And I want to put a caveat on that piece even before we jump into the conversation so that I don't forget to say that, you know, in exploring that that recreational side, I want to tie it back to this notion of well-being, because there is no recreational engagement, whether we're talking about play or travel or downhill skiing, that I am going to encourage people to partake in if you're doing it simply as this overt escapism from other elements. So the caveat I want to bring to the table on this is that I think there's room for this to be an area of exploration for people. But I don't want anyone to think that where we're going in this conversation is that we're utilizing this as a tool of avoidance for any other element of their life. Frankly, no different than I would speak to anything on. But I think for this topic in particular, we need to look at it. Can we start though with the medical side? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Stephanie.
No,
what were you going to say there?
No, I was just going to say that, that absolutely. Like, you know, when we arm people with knowledge, then they'll have a better understanding of whether they choose to use it as a recreation, like having a beer or several drinks or whatever, or if they're choosing to use it medicinally. And I think, again, speaking to intention, right? I talk a lot about it because of my background as a yoga and meditation teacher. But what is the goal with the medicine? What is your intention with the medicine, right? So this is how I start with clients. What is the goal? What is the intention? So that immediately allows us to have a focus of what we're consuming the medicine for, right? And as medical patients, we try really hard not to use the word use. We don't use cannabis. You know, we consume it because it is a medicine, just like any of the other, you know, for us in the medical world, just like any other medicine in our cabinet. You mentioned that you like lavender sap. I do too. It's part of my bedtime routine, right? So it's not just cannabis that is helping many of us. It's that whole package, right? And how we can use it to enhance wellness. And yes, I get it. Like the whole, we don't want to say to people, you know, go into the rec store and just you take anything, consume anything and just zone out for a while. Well, we can do that with Netflix too, right? Like it doesn't have to just be cannabis that we can do that with. So again, I love that perspective. This is whole body. This is all about your well-being. And some of us are dealing with some really difficult health conditions right now, you know? And this medicine can give us hope for that. Going back to...
So let's talk about that a little bit.
Sure.
So I just want to give people a sense of the spectrum of influence that it can have.
Yes.
And some of the most prominent places. I mean, certainly with pain, And I'd love to delve into a little bit more specifically what types of pain.
Yep.
Definitely with sleep. Like, what other areas are you saying? Like, here are the primary verticals where we're seeing really fantastic clinical outcomes.
Yes. So there, the interesting thing is there actually is a lot of documentation from years and years of using cannabis with AIDS and cancer patients. So those are the first two things that I would say over the last 20 years have been really big to help for helping people get through those two big diseases. Okay, so those are some of the big ones. We also see sleep right now, sleep and anxiety is huge. Obviously, in the last year, what we've all gone through, right? So it is very effective.
What have we gone through?
I'm just kidding. Yeah, I know, right? What do you mean? Yeah, sleep and anxiety, huge. We're seeing mood disorders having some real success with cannabis. And it's interesting because we're all very worried about, the warnings they put on the packages in regards to schizophrenia and things like that. But when you're working with either a pharmacist or a doctor or someone like myself, a certified cannabis educator, you know, we watch for all those things and we consult others when we're out of our sort of lane. We consult others on, drug interactions. We go to the experts for this kind of information to keep people safe. The other thing that we're seeing a lot of help with, for example, is CBD is showing to be a very, very good option for osteoporosis or any kind of bone issues. If you have a broken bone, CBD has been shown to especially if you're an elite athlete, it will speed up your process of recovery and it will allow the recovery, the bone to be stronger than it was before, which is very interesting science coming out in regards
That's
to that.
Fascinating. Yeah. I'm just thinking of individuals in my practice and in my community with osteoporosis. And that is an interesting.
Yeah. And
that's interesting.
It's really great that I found out about it because, going into menopause at 43, I have this risk in the first couple of years of one, the cancer coming back in the bones, because this is where this kind of cancer likes to come back. Second, when we go into hard, fast menopause, the physiology behind that, but we deplete our bones, right? And we can do it very, very quickly when we've had chemical or surgical menopause. So that gave me a lot of hope. I have to say, it gave me a lot of hope, thinking about osteoporosis and aging, right? Mm-hmm. We're also finding Alzheimer's, Parkinson's. So Parkinson's and the spasticity or the rigidity of the muscles, we're seeing quite a big amount of relief there. Big, big. MS patients as well are finding huge relief with cannabis. Migraine sufferers. So good news. We are seeing that most migraine sufferers are having better luck with CBD than they did on any of their pharmaceuticals. So there's a lot of hope.
Right. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. And for any of these conditions, the one thing that I would encourage people to say is we're talking about this in a broad sweeping context. The research and the mechanism of action is also something that we have a really strong elucidation on. So, if as Stephanie's going through this, you're like, oh my gosh, I have that. I want to know more about it. We're going to talk a little bit about resources, but this isn't like a random supplement that we're like, oh, it can fix everything.
No.
There really is compelling research around, and certainly the elements that you are speaking to.
Well, and it's,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's really interesting because as I do a lot of writing, I do a lot of advocacy. I'm a co-chair of a nonprofit organization in Canada called Educanation, and we're trying to raise the level of education for certified cannabis educators. So we're all on the same page. We're all teaching very similarly, those kinds of things. But yeah, it's really hard in this landscape. We're being bombarded with CBD and it looks like CBD will fix everything. I have to say one of the biggest things is that it took me about 18 months and I almost quit several times with this medicine. because I couldn't get it to work properly. I had to keep researching and keep trying and keep trying and keep trying. And the reason why is because everyone has an individual endocannabinoid system, right? So it is not a broad brush. CBD will not cure everything, right? I like that you are highlighting this. I rarely ever, if someone says, oh man, these migraines are horrible, I rarely ever say, well, CBD will fix that for you.
Right.
Right? Like, no, that's not how it works. You have to really do your own work here, and you have to really decide if you're willing to try it or not. And it takes, 6 to 8 weeks at your therapeutic dose to get any idea if it's working. So it is not an overnight quick fix. It really isn't. This plant isn't, if you're looking at it from a medical and therapeutic perspective.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. And actually, as a naturopathic doctor, one of the things that drove me crazy when these conversations really first started to emerge in a more, I'm going to say, compliant manner, before things were legalized, but as we were moving in that direction, was I got really tired of people vocally saying this will fix everything.
Yeah, agreed.
When I said, listen, like, I have training in so many other incredible medicinal plants that the traditional medical community up until this point has been vastly dismissive of, wanting to hear about, wanting to look at research, that I was just also a little bit stubborn around it. I'm like, I'm not jumping on this bandwagon. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're not interested in actually hearing about the full pharmacopoeia that I have access to that can help influence your patients, like, I'm going to be stubborn around this element.
Yeah.
And I suspect one of the elements of cannabis and CBD in particular is that because it traditionally was something that had psychotropic effects, there was an increased interest in, or there was an increased uptake in its utilization. And then we started to observe these broad sweeping applications. I suspect if as much time and energy went into the study of other plants without psychotropic influence, we would be uncovering incredible things about this body of medicine that we have access to collectively, maybe not quite this much. But plants generally are really amazing tools when it comes to healing.
Agreed. And I totally agree with all that you said. I've had a naturopathic doctor since I was 19. I had a naturopathic oncologist while I was going through cancer treatment, and my oncologist herself was a little nervous about having a naturopath on the team until she saw what my naturopath put together for me, because I went to my naturopath and I said, I'm doing allopathic. I would like support for my body and my mind and everything in amongst all of this. And so when I talk about my journey, I love that you pulled this out, because it is not just one medicine that helped me. That medicine helps me with my quality of life right now, but I also use a whole lot of other therapies, including doing a whole lot of my own inside work. You know what I mean? And so this, I agree with you. I hate the broad sweep, the broad sweep that we put on this plant. And also, the interesting thing is there's quite a business around this plant. Okay. There is not the same business around lavender. Have you noticed?
I've noticed that too.
Right. And so I totally get it. You know, if we did put the amount of energy, like you're saying, into studies on plants, we would just uncover so much more. And we would, I mean, as naturopaths, you already know what it can do to help us. And I get it. Like, this is a really tricky place that you have been put in. And this is why I work out of a naturopathic clinic, is because naturopaths can't speak to the medicine, yet you're being asked about it all the time because the public is being inundated.
They absolutely are. And so let's switch gears a little bit from the medicinal side. And for those of you who are interested, I mean, Stephanie's definitely a resource, and she's going to point you to some resources at the end of the interview. Let's talk about it more, for lack of a better term, on the recreational side. I don't even like that term. You probably have a better word. The non-medical side.
Yeah.
I'm actually just really curious about taking something that can influence my endocannabinoid system. And there's a place at the end of my street where I could do that. Mm-hmm. Now what?
Yes.
Right?
Right.
People don't know how to navigate. They don't know what to ask for. They don't know what to do. because they have been given this information this whole life of, you know, the war on drugs and drugs are bad, and now you're doing drugs, and let's demystify this for people a little bit.
Yeah. So, absolutely. It was a few years ago that, you know, legalization got ramped up and happened. And I'm going to be really brave, and I'm going to say and tell everyone that, our rec system, our rec cannabis and our medical cannabis system in Canada is broken. I'm going to call them out on this. I'm hoping to be lobbying the government to change these systems. But recreationally, why medical patients were excited with legalization was because we could then see research being done, right? So there was more access for the researchers. So this is great. Legalization happened. We rolled it out. And in Canada, we did a terrible job at educating our population. So what we saw in the first 6 months of legalization in the rec shops that were open or opening, the average population age going into these stores were 55 plus, and most people wanted some kind of therapeutic benefit. The recreation stores are not allowed to speak to medical benefit, okay, at all. You ask them, what could I use for pain? They cannot tell you. They are legally not allowed. So they can lose their license. They can, and let me tell you, opening any kind of cannabis business in our country costs millions of dollars, if not more. Like, you have to have deep, deep pockets. So it is an industry. Please don't think that it isn't, because even the medical system, again, we're taxed twice on rec products. So recreation. So the bud tenders are extremely informative. They do their courses. They know what they're doing. They just can't speak to any therapeutic properties. So what they can say to you is, you know, do you think that you'd like a little more energy and bounce in your step? Do you think you'd like, you know, you'd like to have just a super chill Netflix couch lock kind of evening? You know, those are the kinds of things. And even when they explain that and they say to you, oh, I think this product will work for you, they have zero idea if that product will work for you. They do not know the chemical makeup of your body or your ECS. They have no idea. The only way this works and you know how it works is to be brave and try it. It's the only way. So our rec landscape, in my opinion, needs a tremendous amount of work. I get clients calling me and saying, oh, I called that dispensary and I asked them, you know, I was just diagnosed with MS and I asked them if there's a product that I could use. And they said, no, they can't help me. And they sent me to the Mad Canada website. Like, that's not helpful, right?
No, that's like your doctor telling you to lose weight and come back in 6 months.
Exactly. It's not helpful. Yeah. We are forgetting the patient in so much that we do in this country. We're forgetting the patient. And I mean, in the lens of cannabis, I'm sorry, I don't mean to pick on other, you know, healthcare practices, but in the world landscape of cannabis, because it's so highly regulated, the government has to, you know, have its say, and then big business takes over. So there's a lot of work to be done in this country in both areas, in my opinion.
Fair enough. And when people are approaching it from a recreational perspective, and they are asked that, do you want more energy? Do you want more chill? What does that mean in terms of the constitution of the product that they're purchasing?
Right. Okay. So in our rec stores, you're going to see really high THC products, because rec users traditionally want the psychotropic high. They want that euphoria. That's what they're looking for, right? So there are CBD products in rec stores. There is, so we're in Ontario, and Ontario has the Ontario Cannabis Store, and there are CBD oils that have trace amounts of THC in them, so a tiny bit of THC. And when I educate, I tell people the reason why is because of this entourage effect, because it's a whole plant. You, instead of isolating parts of it, and actually I can speak to that too, way back with AIDS and cancer patients, there are drugs, right, that have synthetic THC, Nabilone and Sativex. Those are very common that were used in the 80s, for AIDS patients, and cancer patients. So that came from THC, right? But it was created in a lab and synthetic. Yeah. So, oh, my mind just went there. Where are we?
That's okay.
Sorry, Megan.
No, it's fine. We're talking about THC CBD balance.
Yes.
And then we're talking about what drives chilling out versus a more energized brain.
Right. So it has to do with what's in the plant and how your system handles cannabinoids. So in our rec stores, we're going to see some high THC products. You may see some balanced products that have an equal part CBD to THC, and it will give you a little bit of a different effect than just THC alone, or just CBD alone. So it really depends. So for example, I really like CBD for my meditation practice because I find it very grounding and it helps kind of bring me down to earth, you know. But when I need creative juices flowing or I need a bit of energy because we're going for a hike, for example, because I deal with a lot of physical pain, then that's when I reach for a high THC product. But not just any high THC product. Again, you have to know what works for your body. So when I work with patients, it does take a while to get that sweet spot of where you find relief. Now, in the rec store, again, because rec users like the, they kind of chase that THC, right? So we see that in our rec stores, we've got a lot of high THC products, but with our licensed producers that sell to medical patients, they tend to have more full spectrum CBD and THC combos. So there's a lot of choice out there, which is also really hard for the consumer.
Totally. And the naturopath in me is always like, oh, I would want something more balanced because of that neuroprotective effect.
Yes.
Of the CBD. Is my thinking off there?
Yeah, that's where we, that, sorry?
Is my thinking off?
No, there? No, that is exactly right. That is exactly right. And especially people who, so for example, let's take sleep. Sleep really is helped with THC, but there's a lot of people who do not want to feel the euphoria, right? The high, the dizziness or any of that. And so we balance it with an equal part CBD to THC, and then they don't feel the extreme euphoria, but they have the relief and they have that relaxation, and the THC still works, but it doesn't create such a large euphoria for them. And people really like that. So yes, balanced, absolutely. You're going the right way.
And then let's just talk a little bit about, in the spirit of like giving people some knowledge and understanding, can we talk about some of the different ways of consuming these products? People are like, oh, I've got my pen, I've got my vape, I've got my gummy, I've got my joint. Like, you know, what are people picking and why would they make the decision? What informs those choices?
So great question. We spend a lot of time on this. And so there's several different methods of ingestion. So the obvious one we all know of is the joint, right? So this is inhalation via combustion. And it's not the most ideal way to consume because we know that smoking is not ideal, right? But some people find that, and especially, can I just say, especially those suffering with PTSD, sometimes the joint is the way to go, right? But it's not like all day, every day. Then we have vaporizers. Now, the vaporizers, there's different ones now on the market in Canada, but the dry herb vaporizer. So let's say your neighbor grows some plants, they give you a small jar of some flowers and you're like, oh, I don't know what to do with this. So, you know, a dry herb vaporizer, you grind it up, you put it in the vaporizer and you can set your temperatures. And this is another form of inhalation that is much safer. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that because I don't know if we have studies yet to say that it's safer, but theoretically it's safer because we are warming a chamber, a ceramic chamber, and then the air is being pushed past the plant material, grabbing the cannabinoids, and then you inhale them, and they're absorbed through the lungs. This is a really fast way to get the medicine in your system. So someone who's having a panic attack, someone who's having a PTSD episode, you know, acute situations, the inhalation works very, very fast. So our dry herb vaporizers are fairly compact. They're a bit, the good ones are a bit expensive, a couple hundred dollars, but you can control your temperature. So you can keep your temp really low and still get so much benefit, but not be worried about the high temperature of the combustion. Okay, so there is a place for inhalation. It's just not always our first line. The next, I would say, would be oils. So these are, this is a type of tincture where the cannabis has been infused into the carrier oil, and the whole plant, right, gets infused in there. So you're getting not just CBD, not just THC, but you're getting the hundreds of other compounds in this, in the plant that we don't even know. We don't even know all of them. We don't even know what they all do, but they're there, right? So the oil is in a bottle, and you will just measure it out with your dropper, and you'll place a couple drops or whatever it is under your tongue. And again, this gets tricky because you have all kinds of different strengths. So you want to just watch your strengths here, and you want to always start low and go slow. That's our biggest motto. It should be like tattooed on my forehead. Start low, go slow. Okay. So that's for oils. We also have capsules. We have topicals. Topicals are amazing, and topicals will not create the high. So you can use topicals all day long with lots of THC in them, and you most likely will not feel anything. I'm going to put like a little caution there, because sometimes elderly folks with thin skin, or anyone with a disease that has that thinning of the skin, could manipulate how this works in the system and how fast it gets into the bloodstream. So we watch for that with topicals. You've probably been hearing about pens, vape pens, like you just said. So yeah. I educate a lot around our vape pens, okay? The crisis we saw a couple years ago in California, I guess it was only a year and a half ago, with the popcorn lung and the THC pens, right? So first of all, these pens were made, the medicine was made in China and shipped here. So we don't know how it was made, but it was also to make it, to allow it to be runny enough to go into the vape, they added a vitamin E acetate. And when you inhale that, you can kill people. Okay. So these were a black market. These were things that shouldn't be allowed, right? These, there was no testing. There was no nothing, right? So yes, you're going to be injured. When we look at vaporizers like the Juul that you get at the corner store for $17 and it's a nicotine one, let me tell you that the vapes we make in Canada, that we have in Canada, are nothing like those. First of all, those are nicotine. They're filled with flavorings, all of that kind of stuff. What we see in Canada, because we are regulated, thankfully, we still have work to do, but we're regulated, and every product has to be third-party tested. And I, as a consumer, have the right to see that, right? So most of my medical licensed producers have that available on their website so that you can actually see the testing, right? And so these are a high concentrate of product, and they are an inhalation, and they do have a place. They are made according to very specific guidelines. So these are, but you have to make sure they're a legal product, right? So you're buying it from your legal dispensary.
Fair.
Yeah. So there's that. What else do we have? We have gummies, edibles. Oh, edibles is huge. Edibles is huge. So yeah, there's chocolates, there's lollipops, there's gummies, there's all kinds of things like that. So one of the big things to know is inhalation as a method of ingestion, obviously works in the lungs, right? So the lungs absorb, the cannabinoids, and they go into the bloodstream that way. When we use an oil-based product under our tongue, or a capsule or an edible, we're processing this through the liver. So in inhalation, we will have relief from our symptoms in a couple seconds to a couple minutes. Edibles can take 30 minutes to 2 hours to kick in, depending on your system, your digestive system. There's bath bombs. You're probably seeing bath bombs and skincare products. Many of those on the market now that are not available in a legal dispensary, those are made with hemp CBD. So if you go to the States and you go to Walgreens and there's like bath bombs with CBD in them, those are made with hemp because hemp is not illegal. The same way that that cannabis, the drug type, is in many of the states. So if you're seeing now, like you go into a little bath shop and they've got CBD bath bombs, that will be made with hemp and it's a different product. So that's kind of, I think I've covered all of them.
You've covered a lot. Yes. I was taking some notes as we were talking because I want to be able to go back and highlight some of the key areas we spoke about. And we've covered a lot. And I'm sensing, right? You're like, okay, this is like, it's all, we brain dumped it all.
I'm sorry.
I feel like, and I would love to hear from our listeners on this.
Yeah.
I actually feel like this would be a fantastic masterclass where we can go a little bit deeper. Yep. People can ask questions. I think this is an excellent overview, Stephanie. And I think this is an amazing place for us to transition the interview to a portion that I call our KPIs or key performance indicators. So just like we have them in our business, I believe that we have them in how we live our life as well. So I've got a few rapid fire questions for you.
Okay. I'm not too nervous.
Don't be. There's no, I've scratched the math.
Thank you.
My first question for you, what's the most memorable book you have read? And you may have more than one. We're all entrepreneurs. There are no rules. But like, if I was like,
any kind of book, right? Book
to anybody, you're like, oh, this has impacted me. What comes to mind?
All the Light You Cannot See. It is I can't believe I'm forgetting the author's name. I'll look it up right now. It is a book set in World War II. A young blind girl on an island in France getting through the war. And she has a little miniature town in her apartment that she walks her fingers through and learns where everything is in the town. And it's World War II. I happen to love that kind of literature. but it's such a hopeful story, right? A young girl all alone in an apartment with the enemy all around her and somehow survives. So my books that I love are always survival based. It's my theme.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. What's your favorite health hack?
Oh, my favorite health hack is a glass of water. If anyone's crying in my house, if there's any issue, if there's the stress, if whatever, okay, let's have a glass of water.
I love that. Sometimes we forget the most obvious. Every time my kid's like, I'm hungry again, I'm like, you are thirsty.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure. How would you define your purpose in the world?
I love this so much. Thank you. Because first of all, I love your word that you chose for the year, disrupt. My word I chose for the year was Dharma or purpose.
Nice.
Yeah. And what I do, this work that I do, I realize and I notice that I don't have the education that doctors do, that pharmacists do, that nurses do. I don't. And I wrestle with how can I help people even though I'm not a doctor, right? And education is something that is accessible to all of us. And it's out there. And sometimes it just takes the right person to say the right words, to change thought patterns. And so that's my purpose. My purpose is I have seen suffering. I have felt suffering, deep suffering. And it's unethical for us to not have these options available for people when they are suffering. So that's my deep purpose.
I love it. So powerful.
Thank you.
And last question for you, Stephanie. Entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
Oh, and I also love this question because my dad is in his 53rd year of owning his own business and my brother is taking over, the business. And I believe both. I think it's a combination of both.
It is my favorite question to ask because there is no consistent perspective. It totally sheds light on the fact that, you know, entrepreneurship can be taught, it can be acquired, it can be it can manifest in so many different ways.
Yeah.
Stephanie, thank you for the entrepreneurial journey that you are undertaking and the work that you are doing in the world. Where can we send people to learn more about what you are doing?
Oh, thank you. So I'm on Instagram at thatcannabislady. And we'll see how long I last with that title because
right now
in this landscape, it's a little tricky. So I may have to change it to that plant medicine lady or something like that. But my website is a good place to start. And it's stephiemassey.com, stephiemassey.com.
Amazing. And we'll hook everyone up in our show notes. Stephanie, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Megan. It's been an honor to be here.
I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I did. Stephanie just has this perfect demeanor and was so clear and concise about laying down the information that we need to know. I absolutely loved it. If you enjoyed it, please share it with your friends, tag them, or send them the link directly to the episode. The thing that made Stephanie so special in this interview and the clarity that she was able to leverage in our conversation is what makes her a total boss. And when I work with healthcare practitioners, it's really moving them into that state of clarity, that state of systems that enables them to truly start to ascend in their business and in their impact. We've got an upcoming webinar taking place for practitioners, and it's called the CEO System. The CEO System takes you from the hustle of the early days of running your practice and allows you to ascend not only in delivering a successful business, but also being in alignment with the type of life you want to be living. The CEO System addresses your income, it addresses the way you deliver care, it looks at your marketing, and it looks at the operations of how you are building your business moving forward. As you guys know, it is truly my passion to help healthcare practitioners take their impact to the next level while enabling them to live an aligned life. Our CEO System Masterclass is taking place in the next week. If you want to join us for that, take your practice, your life, and your impact to the next level, you can head on over to my Instagram, Dr. Megan Walker. Make sure you register. The webinar will be live, and we're super excited to be bringing it your way. Until next week, keep working so super hard. We'll see you again next Tuesday here on the Entrepology Podcast.